Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Have you ever wondered what your name means? Parents these days seem to pick names for their children that they like the sound of, or that belong to some other relative in the family who had the name first. At the beginning of civilization, children were named by either their mother or father or God, and these names all had particular meaning. Adam's son Seth named his son Enosh, which means moral frailty, a testimony to Seth's awareness that his generation knew that they had a deep spiritual need to be right with God. In Genesis chapter 5, there are some hard-to-pronounce names of people listed as the heads of various generations. However, the head of a generation wasn't always the firstborn son. 10 names are mentioned in these particular verses, starting with Adam and ending with Noah. Although each individual listed here had many children, there were only 10 in the direct line that led from Noah to Abraham, David, and eventually to Christ. Because most of these 10 men lived over 900 years before they died, Adam had known all the generations following him, except for Noah. This meant that the story of creation and mankind's fall into sin would have been told over and over again to help people make some meaning of their lives and learn lessons from other people's failures. The oldest man to ever live was Methuselah, who lived 969 years, while his father Enoch lived the shortest of these 10 men.
And Jared lived 162 years and had a son named Enoch. And Enoch grew into manhood, and for 365 years he walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. God and Enoch were friends. They did walk and talk together. And Enoch did go to heaven without having to die, like most of the people who will be saved in heaven will have to do. Adam lived to be 930 years old. But since he was only 622 when Enoch was born, perhaps the two of them spent many happy hours together. Young Enoch listened eagerly to the many stories the older Adam could tell.
And so, Enoch, my son, your grandmother Eve and I were driven out of the Garden of Eden. If only we had obeyed God, we would still be living there.
When Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of a boy whom he called Methuselah. When Methuselah became old enough to understand such things, Enoch no doubt taught the boy to follow in the ways of God.
So you see, son, there are many ways of living your life, but only one way that is right and pleasing to God.
I understand, Father.
I wonder if you really understand, son. You see, God wants us to follow His way, not only for His sake, but also for our own. God knows that to follow His teachings and obey His voice is the only way to happiness. Any other way brings disaster, sorrow, death.
Like Grandpa Adam and Grandma Eve?
Yes, and like your grandfathers Cain and Abel. Cain murdered his brother Abel. With what result? Happiness? No. Unhappiness. He was forced to live as a fugitive. He was very unhappy and sad. Other men steal and live lives of terror of being found out. Others cheat and lie and pass their days in fear of discovery. And so it goes. Disobedience to God results in unhappiness.
By being bad, we make ourselves unhappy. Is that it?
Yes, yes, that's it. God's laws are for our benefit. By loving truth, by abhorring evil, by obedience to the ways of God, we not only please God, but we give ourselves every advantage.
Now I understand, Father. I will be good, forever and ever.
I hope so, son. I sincerely hope so.
Enoch lived 300 years after he begat Methuselah, and he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
The first verse of Genesis chapter 5 marks one of the major divisions in Genesis. It says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. The record was written down and not just orally transmitted." In the same way, Noah wrote down a section of the Bible as a continuation of the official history of the human race, and especially the line of promise that would lead to Christ, the Saviour of the world. The names of these first 10 patriarchs in the pre-flood period are also listed in Luke chapter 3 as part of the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're also given in 1 Chronicles chapter 1. This double account rules out any possibility that the biblical information in the beginning times was just made up. Adam lived until Lamech, the father of Noah, was 56 years old. And according to this genealogy, there were 1,656 years between the creation of Adam and Noah's flood. Humans during this period lived much longer than we do today. This came about because the water vapor canopy around the earth kept the sun's radiation from damaging the earth's surface. Enoch was an amazing person. His name means dedication, and he walked with God, and he was God's prophet. In the second last book of the Bible, Jude quotes what Enoch prophesied, "Behold, the Lord will come with many thousands of his holy angels to bring judgment on all, to condemn them all for the godless deeds they have performed and for the terrible words that godless sinners have spoken against him." Enoch's walk with God was probably not literal in the sense in which Adam had walked with him in the garden before the fall. Enoch too shared in the fallen nature of all men. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it says, "By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken away, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. By faith, in prayer, and by obedience to God's word, Enoch maintained close fellowship and communion with God. Somehow, in actual physical flesh, Enoch was supernaturally carried up into heaven. Enoch became an example of hope for all mankind. Life can be found by walking with God. But if we want to find life, we must walk well and finish well." When Enoch was 65 years old, he had a son named Methuselah, which means, "When he dies, judgment." Enoch may have received a special revelation concerning the coming judgment of the great flood. God promised Enoch that the flood wouldn't come as long as Methuselah lived. And Methuselah lived for 969 years, more than anyone else in recorded history. In 2 Peter chapter 3 it says, "The Lord is not slow to do what he has promised, as some think. Instead, he's patient with you, because he doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but wants all to turn away from their sins." Methuselah's son Lamech was also a prophet, and Lamech spoke about his own son Noah. Enoch and Lamech are the only two of the 10 pre-flood patriarchs to have some of their words recorded in the scriptures. Both these two men were outlived by their fathers. At Noah's birth, his father Lamech prophesied a coming time when the curse of sin would be removed, indicating that the memory of creation and of the fall was still fresh in their minds of at least those who had received and believed the records left for them by Adam. This is strong evidence that there aren't any large gaps in the genealogies of Genesis 5. It's impossible to make this record fit with evolution, speculating that man originated somehow several millions of years ago. It's always been important for Jewish people to be able to trace their ancestors back to Abraham. There are two genealogies for Jesus Christ in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 1, the kingly line from King David through to his son Solomon is traced down to Jesus' stepfather, or supposedly father, Joseph, the son of Jacob. In Luke chapter 3, the fleshly line of Jesus is given through his mother Mary, daughter of Heli. While it is assumed, from every outward appearance, that Jesus was the fleshly son of Joseph, Jesus was in fact the descendant of Heli due to being born of a virgin by the Holy Spirit and without sin. This biblical account records the physical descent of Jesus from Mary through David's son Nathan. King David was the joint ancestor of both Mary and Joseph. God is a great and orderly mathematician. One example of this is recorded in Matthew chapter 1, that there were 14 generations from Abraham to David. Then there were 14 generations from David until the captivity of Babylon. And from that captivity until the Christ, there were also 14 generations. Do we need to know all this early history of the human race and the greatness of our God in providing Jesus to overcome the sinful nature and curse of Adam inflicted on us all? Yes, we do. God's original plan was fellowship with human beings. Thus, we need to know a lot about him to worship him correctly in spirit and in truth, as this is what Jesus taught. God doesn't want to be worshipped in ignorance. That's what the pagans do. They make gods for themselves out of wood or metal, but the god statues have no life. Whatever attributes they were given came from the imagination of the people who make them. And these pagan gods were certainly not perfect like our Creator God. When the Apostle Paul visited Athens in Greece in the New Testament, he came across an altar with the inscription, "To the Unknown God." So unsatisfied with the Greeks in their worship of many gods, they decided to make an altar to another god they did not yet know. When Paul tried to teach them about this God, they weren't really interested. They rejected what Paul had to say about a living and eternal God. They'd never before heard of a God who died and was raised back to life to be the permanent redeemer from sin of all those who will trust him. Both God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ have many names which describe them and reveal their character. The best known one for God the Father is Jehovah, which is translated in the scriptures as Lord, with an initial capital letter and small capitals to distinguish it from the other types of lords. Jehovah means to be actively present and contains the thought of God's faithfulness and unchangeableness. Do we believe that God is actively present in our world, despite all the troubles we hear and we see in it? Whether we're conscious of it or not, the issues of life are before us. We must vote for or against a view of life that has worth, purpose, and a heavenly goal. If we vote that the universe has no meaning, made itself out of nothing, and life here is a struggle for survival of the fittest, then we vote that our own lives have no purpose or meaning. This decision has implications for all of life, as when life has no distinct meaning and purpose, it falls into destruction or shattered pieces. Without a strong controlling purpose, the human personality disintegrates through its own inner clashes. No purpose, no personality. A famous theologian once said words to the effect that God has made us for himself and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in him. One of the most used names for the Lord Jesus in the scriptures is Son of Man. Jesus used this as his preferred title for himself as it highlights his humanity as well as his servanthood. It also reflects Daniel's vision of the Son of Man coming with judgment and authority as seen in Daniel chapter 7. Jesus Christ will one day come to rule and reign over the earth, and the Bible says his kingdom will never be destroyed. Are you already part of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus? Christ's kingdom for the moment is a spiritual kingdom. By his substitutionary death and resurrection, Jesus wonderfully paid for the sins of the world. This means that all those who put their trust and loyalty in Jesus and confess Jesus as the Son of God will be saved. Jesus wants to live within you peacefully and cooperatively by his Holy Spirit. Sadly, people try to fulfill this intended relationship with God by seeking after anything and everything that will deaden this great need. God's offer to receive Jesus won't be open forever. Many of the Bible's prophecies are being fulfilled before our very eyes, and soon there'll be times of great trouble throughout the whole world as many people reject any authority or existence of God in their lives. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus is